Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Well, we've seen this before, a terrible third quarter, and this time Jason Tatum can't bail them out. We're going to talk about it all on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainer J's back with the vengeance, back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34, this like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Millie. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales. I host the show. I cover the Celtics. So, sure, makes sense for me to host this show. I do it Monday through Friday. So if you're a new listener, please subscribe. Wait till the end of the show. Make sure that you like it first. I'm going to bet that you do. And then you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You regular listeners, you know I love you for subscribing, for rating 5 stars, good written reviews, sharing the podcast, all of that stuff. Today, I am talking about the Boston Celtics' loss to the Indiana Pacers. 108-107 was the final after Jason Tatum missed a 30-foot three-pointer that would have won the game. So, normally I say, hey, I'm going to do the good, I'm going to do the bad, and then talk about a storyline. I'm thinking now with losses, maybe I want to just do the bad first. Let's just get this bad taste out of our mouths, and then we'll ease into it in the rest of the podcast with like a good feeling. Maybe a good feeling closer to the end of the podcast will be better. So we'll flip it. We're going to flip it today and see how it feels. You tell me how you think it feels. You can tweet me, RedsArmy_John, or follow the show LO Celtics on Twitter. So let's start with the bad, and let's just start right away with that last shot of the game, which Jason Tatum, to his credit, said, that was on me. I should have put more pressure on the defense. So the Celtics, if you didn't watch, you need to get the flow of the game. The Celtics came out strong. Indy called a timeout. The Celtics started to suck, turn the ball over a bunch. The transition defense was a mess. The third quarter was the same old third quarter stuff where the Celtics came out with no energy and Indy built a pretty big lead. Now the Celtics came back. The late fourth quarter was kind of chaotic. All of a sudden, the Celtics, thanks to Robert Williams, were able to take a late lead. And then they immediately gave it right back, thanks to Robert Williams. He took the blame for that. And with 7.1 seconds left, the Celtics had the ball. They had the timeout, so they got the ball advanced to half court. 7 seconds left, down one, and Jason Tatum got the ball. And what did he do? He dribbled out the clock, basically, and took a sidestep three-pointer. And we can maybe try to argue that, hey, Malcolm Brogdon didn't exactly give him a place to land or whatever, but it was a bad shot. It was a bad shot. It's a shot that maybe he could make, that he's made shots like that before, sure. And to his credit, if he had made that shot, you know, to be fair, if he made that shot, then the entire emotion, all of everything that we're saying, the tone is different. The tenor of this entire day is different. And also, to be fair, that shot that he took against Indy was much closer than the shot that he made against Milwaukee. He just was so far off in that shot against Milwaukee that it hit the backboard and banked in. But he was way off. If he took that shot, that same shot here, it would have, I don't think it would have banked in. So this shot, at least sort of kind of, it went back rim. So So I guess in a way it's progress, but seriously, it was not a good shot. And you look at this and you say, 7 seconds left. What could he have done? You get the ball at the top of the key. Someone comes over. I say Jaylen Brown comes over and sets a pick for him. Why not? What are you going to do? Are they going to blitz Tatum to get the ball out of his hands so he gives up a wide open shot to Jaylen Brown? Okay. Are they going to chase Tatum over the top? Okay. Then he just drives. Are they going to go under? Okay, then he can pull up for the three. But at least it's a better look, and you can run that a little closer to the three-point line so he can get that clean look. But at least there, you can say, you ran the pick and roll with Jaylen. Maybe you run some other actions off to the side to give Tatum a passing option. Maybe Marcus Smart does something and presents himself as a passing option. If the pick and roll with Jaylen delivers you a scenario where, okay, the three was the right shot to take, then at least then you say, okay, that was the right shot. Defender went under, Tatum had the ball, he had a clean look, launch it. That's a good look. This shot from 28 feet or 30 feet or whatever it was, that's not a good shot. Plus, on top of it, everybody's standing there looking at him again. But again, to his credit, he said, I needed to put more pressure on the defense. You need to put more pressure on the officials. That's another thing that he said. Get out there, force them to make a call, which he still only took 4 free throws in this game. And I'll talk in the third segment about Jason's kind of superstardom, that path. What path is he on? That's going to be my topic in the third segment. So I'm kind of leading us into that kind of now. This shot, this game, just it sets the stage here for just how far Jason Tatum has to go. So I'll stop the Jason Tatum last shot thing here and just tie it up by saying he admits that that was a bad shot, that with 7 seconds left, they should have done something. I think there's a Brad Stevens element to this, even though Tatum said this isn't exactly the play that we drew up. And Stevens would say, if you just ran the play, then maybe it would have been a different shot. But also at this point, like, Stevens got to understand, like, Tatum's going to try to get that ball and Tatum's going to want to take that shot. So I wasn't there for the whiteboard. I have no idea what they drew up. But when Tatum gets that ball, clearly no one is looking to do anything. I say, send Jaylen Brown. I don't know why the Celtics aren't running pick and rolls with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Like, have them set picks for one another. Why not? Who are you going to guard? I don't understand why teams don't run more of these pick and rolls with their best players. Why not? They're both big guys. They both can set picks. They both can come off of that and read and roll, pop. You're smart players. I don't know why the Celtics don't do that more. And especially in this situation, you're not going to run a pick and roll with Robert Williams, because then they will leave Robert Williams. You're not going to run it with whomever else is on the floor. Marcus Smart, you pick your poison there, and you can have Tatum set the pick for Marcus Smart, but then they're just going to go with Tatum and say, let Smart take the shot. But Jaylen Brown was playing pretty well, generally. When he checked into the game in the fourth quarter, it was like one of those tag team matches in WWE where the guy's been sitting out for a little too long and he's waiting and you tag him in and he just kicks everybody's ass. Like, that was the Jaylen Brown experience in the fourth quarter when he checked in. All of a sudden, the Celtics were like, they went from down 8 to a tie game, like, pretty quickly. So get JB a shot. Get him involved. So there's a Brad Stevens element to it for me there, too. A couple other bad things here, so I'm not droning on and on. The turnovers, the Celtics, a ton of turnovers. and missed shots. Their transition defense is horrible. Celtics' transition defense, for certain stretches, has been just disgustingly bad. Every missed shot felt like a run out for the Pacers. It was disgusting to see. It felt like 3-on-1s all the time. They have to really clean up that transition defense. The person who takes that shot has to rotate back, or someone there has to rotate back and get back and to try to stop these runouts. Third quarter, same thing as we've seen a ton of. Team comes out of the locker room lacking energy. I don't know why. I don't get it. Tried to ask Brad Stevens about it after the game. Kind of got deflected. But I don't know how many times we have to say this. Coming out of the break, come out with energy. I don't know why they come out and they're like, whatever. I don't understand why that's such a constant problem. And it happens so often. And then the other team makes a run, and what ends up happening? We see, and this happened in the fourth quarter too, after the Celtics kind of got it back to even or close to even, it became a take turns, Tatum and Brown. Well, let me try to break my guy down. You try to break your guy down. Celtics get away from that offense very quickly. They run some good offense. They actually do run good offense. They've been able to do some things. I've already mentioned it here on the podcast before, but you know, the handoffs, they do a nice kind of pass it to the big, handoff back to the wing, a screen, and then a rescreen, and the ball handler has a ton of options. You know, use the screen, use that first screen, nothing there, rescreen, come back around, reject that screen. So many different ways to get guys moving towards the rim, get you to the rim. And then it all just goes away. They stop doing it. Because I think when they see like, oh, well, we need a bucket, I'm just going to go get the bucket. And this plays into what I'm going to talk about later with Tatum. Like, I don't know what level these guys are at of just going to get their own bucket. They're great off the pick and rolls. They're great off of these actions. Just to say, here's a ball, go do your thing. Sometimes, yeah, it looks great. But then a lot of times, it just becomes 20 seconds of dribbling. Okay, now I'm going to back up. Now I'm going to try and speed by you. Okay, now I'm going to go side to side. Okay, yeah, every once in a while, you're going to break somebody down. But geez, like in the fourth quarter, it was just, somebody set a pick, please. Somebody do something. Run some damn offense somewhere, please. Get other people involved, please. And you do have to wonder at some point, why not throw Aaron Nesmith in there? At least space the floor. At least make him a threat. But I don't know. Nesmith's got to be so far behind. He's got to be so far behind, unable to grasp things yet. And it does make what Peyton Pritchard, and I'll talk about Peyton Pritchard a little bit in the next segment, but it does make that more impressive because I'm not sitting here saying like anything bad about Nesmith. Like, no rookie should be having any success right now because you've missed 2 months worth of important developmental work. So, but I mean, you still got to think that Nesmith's got something that he can throw in there, some kind of effort in that early third quarter. Where you're like, all right, well, if you guys don't want to play, then we'll throw somebody in there that does, or at least some guy who can make a shot or two. Last bad thing, Jeff Teague, 0 for 6. The Corrales curse is real. He's feeling it. I guess. I don't know. That's what people want to say. But 0 for 6 in this game. He did get to the line a bunch. He did do some decent things. But the 0 for 6, after I said, hey, you got to miss sometime, I just find that kind of hilarious. I'm sure he doesn't think so. I don't believe in curses, so it's just fun to talk about that. Yeah, up next, Peyton Pritchard, Robert Williams, Energy, Jaylen Brown. All of that is part of the good. Now, I would not have bet on Peyton Pritchard being the guy that made this much of an impact early. I would have had it flipped. I thought Aaron Nesmith was going to be the guy. So if betonline.ag had laid some odds on this, I would have lost some money. But I got a little bit of cash here. This is prime betting season. NFL playoffs are almost here. The NBA is obviously back in full swing. Hockey's going to be coming back soon if you're into that. So go to betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. You win right away. Whatever you deposit, they'll give you 50% of that as a bonus. So you win immediately. And you can do like prop bets. You can do live bets. While you're watching the Celtics game, you can go to betonline.ag and you can get like third quarter bets or whatever. Like anything that you're into, you can do that. So don't sit on the sidelines. Go ahead and get into the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Yeah, I can't be talking to you guys about betonline.ag without telling you about the new Locked On Bets podcast. That's a nice combination for you. Subscribe to Locked On Bets. It's hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. They're going to get you the inside information, the hot tips, the quick hitting advice, so you can make the smartest possible wagers on betonline.ag. So subscribe to the podcast, listen to the podcast, and then go ahead and make more informed wagers. It's brought to you by betonline.ag. So subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Let's roll through the good from the Celtics loss to the Pacers. Jaylen Brown once again looking good out there. I thought that Jaylen did a lot of great things and has just continues to develop. I don't know how many times I'm going to say it, but he continues to develop. The drive and kick for Marcus Smart three-pointers in the corner is just sweet. The way the Celtics run their offense, when it's clicking, especially when they've got the two bigs out there. They got away from the two bigs because Brad Stevens says he thought Robert Williams was the best big in the night on the night. I really thought that that Tristan Thompson was pretty good early. He had that, he just walked right in and was just bullying people right away. But I think with the good pick setters, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but Jaylen Brown especially, has been really maneuvering well to use those picks. And like I said, the driving kicks for the corner threes have really been there. There should be more of that. Like, I really think that Jaylen Brown can average like four assists a game. I think Tatum can average like five or six, but they need to run that more often. They can't be out there not running their offense. I mean, in this game, four assists for Tatum, for Brown, five assists for Tatum. That's not a bad number. They could have had more. This could have been a seven or eight assist Tatum night and another five or six assists for Jaylen Brown night. They need to run that offense more. People talk about like, oh, Brad Stevens doesn't, you know, when is he going to run a good offense? I actually like when they're running their offense, when they're running the picks and when they're running those, like, I like that offense. I think that that's really going to work well. And I'm going to, if they ran it more, I'd have more film to work with. But yeah, I'm going to get together and get that all together and break it down to show you. And Jaylen Brown is a big beneficiary of that. He uses the picks very well. Robert Williams, maybe if Robert Williams can continue to play like this, he can get an opportunity and he can be a role man that puts a lot of pressure on the rim and maybe opens things up. Well, I don't know what Brad Stevens didn't see from Daniel Theis that got Robert Williams in the game, but good thing for the Celtics that Robert Williams did. I mean, he came in and bailed the Celtics out, bailed Jason Tatum out late after Tatum had a turnover. Robert Williams stole the ball right back and got the dunk. Now, he did admit to messing up a defense on Sabonis at the end, but he also was the guy that got the steal that put the Celtics up before that play. So he's down on himself. He really was down on himself after the game, which I understand. But he really did. Without Robert Williams, they weren't even in that position in the first place. And this is the type of thing that I'm looking for from Robert Williams. These are the types of minutes that I want him to get so he can gain that confidence. And maybe next time he doesn't make a mistake like that. Now, I don't know if he's going to have that opportunity, because going too big and trying to defend Sabonis is a beast, man. That dude is really, really good. And then you need some muscle to defend Miles Turner. So I don't know how much Robert was going to play. Maybe he gets more time as a reward for this game, but he certainly needs to be singled out for how well he played in this game. And then Peyton Pritchard, I thought, was fantastic. He had a high energy, a high impact, perfect shooting, 5 for 5, 3 for 3 from three. He had a couple of turnovers, but a couple of assists and a couple of steals. And this is a perfect Peyton Pritchard game. So, one of those threes that I noted, like, this is, again, the Celtics running their offense. He's the guy that can benefit from the Celtics running their offense, because there are going to be opportunities for him to operate in the space created by the Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart's. Like, Pritchard can exist in their wake and catch and shoot. And he's shown that, I mean, obviously he had a perfect night, but he's shown that he can kind of catch and shoot from anywhere. He had a really deep shot, I forget, early on in this game. But Pritchard, like I said earlier, I thought that Nesmith was going to be the guy that made this impact. But Pritchard, with his energy, is able to, I think, cover for some of the things that maybe he might be slow to pick up. I couldn't tell you without seeing it why Aaron Nesmith is not picking certain things up, but Pritchard coming in and making the contribution. So, and Brad Stevens said before the game they wanted to put the ball in his hands more. So Pritchard was getting like fourth quarter minutes, and he was running the offense. Right now, and it's way, way, way too early, but this is something where, like, the success is actually impressive, whereas the lack of success, I guess, for Nesmith, it doesn't really matter to me, because these guys, normally, under normal circumstances, you get, after you're drafted, you go to summer league, and there's like a week of practice before you get to summer league, and then you have summer league, and then you go home with basically homework, and you have a lot of time to work on a whole list of things. They'll tell you these are our coverages. These are your responsibilities. You have time to study film and get in your head and say, these are the things that I should be expecting, learning the new terminology. These guys were like drafted, and 2 weeks later, you're in camp. So I'm not going to put any real stock in Aaron Nesmith not performing well enough to get minutes. Any rookie that succeeds right now is going to be somewhat surprising. So Peyton Pritchard succeeding right now is somewhat surprising. He's not, obviously, we've seen him not play well, so it's going to be an up and down type of year. But this was a very nice performance. Up next, and I've talked about this a little bit already, but Jason Tatum's superstardom, the path, this MVP path that everybody wants for him. Where is he? How close is he? I'm going to try to break that down when I come back. So go ahead and grab yourself a Built Bar, because it's going to give you all of the nutrients that you need in a delicious, very good for you protein bar that tastes like a chocolate bar. And if you go to builtbar.com, you'll see all sorts of different offers, even like white chocolate bars if you build your own box. There's a ton of things here, but you'll also notice that they have their flavors broken up in nut-free and then with nuts. So if you've got an allergy, doesn't matter, you can go and easily see what you can get, what works for you. They are very good if you're trying to be health conscious. Lose weight, maintain weight, doesn't matter. These are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Even if you're on a keto diet, this is going to be great for you. I mean, look at, I'm going to these cookies and cream now because it's 130 calories with 17 grams of protein for a bar that's called cookies and cream. 4 net grams of carbs and 4 grams of sugar in a cookies and cream bar. So go to builtbar.com, check it out. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Even if you've used it before, use it again. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at LOCKEDON Celtics on Instagram. So it is early, and so I'm not going to sit here and make any determinations about who is going to be what. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to preface this entire thing by saying I don't know what this season, what these players are going to be by the time the season ends. Because we even saw it last year that Jason Tatum didn't make this jump until mid-season. Then all of a sudden something clicked after he hit the All-Star team. He was voted on, and then was like, whoa, okay, all right. So if we look back to the beginning of last season and the beginning of this season, Jason Tatum is playing much better at the beginning of this season, because I will say that in these three games, he's played well for stretches, but he hasn't really had a beginning to end complete dominant game. Now, again, only three games. But still, in this game, he shot 9 for 21, 3 of 9 from 3. Percentage is not great. So his overall true shooting is going to be okay. He had 5 turnovers in this game, and they were not good turnovers. And I could sit there and say for most of this game, aside from early on, like early in the game, he came out kind of hot. Second half was not great. And he still finishes with 25 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, a block, and those 5 turnovers. Now, single game plus minus, not great. Not a great metric, but he was -6, and that's not something that's entirely encouraging. But so where's Jason Tatum? He's a star player, and Celtics fans want him to be a superstar. If Boston is going to get to the NBA Finals and win a championship with Tatum as the main guy, he has to take his game to yet another level. And the reason I want to bring this up is because those turnovers, the quality of those turnovers were so poor in this game that he had a bad pass, but then he had a lot of these dribbles that turned into turnovers, trying to dribble into the teeth of the defense, losing the ball. That's where he needs to make maybe his biggest improvement. Because if we're looking at takeover ability, what does a star do? The superstar is the guy like the Giannis, the KD. And obviously he's not at that level yet, but he's the guy in this situation that takes over for long stretches. Now, we've seen him do that, especially with his shooting. We've seen him do it with his shooting. He gets hot. He sidesteps. He nails it. When he gets going like that, he is unstoppable. But we see him trying to drive, and we see him trying to attack and create off the dribble. That's not going quite as well. If he doesn't have a Daniel Theis leading the way, he's not, he'll get there. He'll get there sometimes. It's not always great. It's not always comfortable. And he's not finishing at the rim. So for Tatum to make that superstar leap in a game like this, where he's driving and guys are swiping at him and he's turning the ball over, that's the biggest area he needs to clean up. He needs to tighten up that handle. He needs to be able to get by guys. Now, I keep saying run the offense, because when they run the offense, then he can get by guys. He needs like a little extra boost, a pick, something right now. And he's only, what, 23? So I'm not going to, like, this isn't, he sucks. Like, I'm saying he's a star player. But that next level where we're saying, hey, Jason Tatum, and I predicted in my Locked On NBA bold predictions that Jason Tatum is going to finish in like a top three, like a legitimate MVP type conversation. And so right now he's actually like, he could be doing more, but from a national voter perspective, he had a game winner against the Bucks. He had an okay game against Brooklyn. They're going to go down the box scores. They're going to say, hey, you know, 25 and 11, that's pretty good. The averages are going to be there right now. It's early in the season. So if he picks this up and improves, then he'll have that opportunity. And I'll say this, if Jason Tatum improves this season at the same percentage he improved from the beginning of last season to the end, then he will do all of this stuff that I'm saying. But when I watch this game and I see him trying to drive and it not working, like that's something that says, yeah, you know, he's got another, this is something that he needs to work on. That handle needs to tighten up. And then the vision can be even better. I think he's making good strides. 5 assists, not bad. Not bad at all. He can average 6 or 7 probably if he really wanted to. But watching that and watching the end of the game, now this is 2 straight games, and this is not a big deal right now. There's 2 straight games where it's basically been, everybody get out of my way. I got this. Okay, Jason Tatum is your star player. So he's the guy, right? But you also have Jaylen Brown. And at some point, Jaylen Brown's going to have to start taking some of these game-winning type shots, right? Because if he's not, then the thought starts creeping into his head probably. That's all of the stuff where people are like, oh, you know, Tatum and Brown, can they even coexist? It's been crap up until now. But if game-winning situations keep coming up and he just becomes nothing more than a bystander as Tatum just takes sidestep 30-footers and maybe they go in and maybe they don't, well, then I'm sure Jalen's going to be like, hey, you know what? I'm a pretty damn good player too. Why don't I get a shot? Or, like I said earlier, why don't we do something that gets us both a shot, and however the defense plays it, then that's who takes the shot. But how about I don't just stand off in the corner, or how about I don't just stand off and like try to come up as a bailout option? Because that's the glory. That's the thing. And as much as it doesn't matter, and you can say it doesn't matter, what does matter is when it comes down to the last shot and you're sitting there thinking like you're one of two, like however you want to classify it, Batman and Robin or whatever the hell you want to, however you want to do it, like Jalen is still capable of hitting these shots. I mean, he was a huge reason why the Celtics even had a chance in this game. So they better spread that wealth, and it's only going to help both of them. But I think Tatum needs to be, like I said, a better ball handler and needs to be more in a, you know, I don't want to say more willing to share, because that's not, I don't sit there thinking like he's selfish or anything like that. Like, I'm not going to say like he's saying like, no, I'm the only one who takes this shot. But what I'm saying is that the more often that this happens, the more likely it is that Jalen's going to say something about it and say, hey, let me give it a try. Because he thinks he can. Now, until Tatum becomes like the unquestioned, like he's always taking that shot and he's hitting it most of the time, and you're just like, hey, he's the guy, right? Like, I got to give it up to him. But I just want to see these extra steps. This is the part of his career where it does get nitpicky. Because the nits that you pick are the steps that he needs to become the player that the Celtics need. And he's only 23, and it's three games into the season. And I'm not saying he could do it two games from now. He could do it on Tuesday night. He could do it some point this season. He could figure something out like he did last year. I'm certainly not saying he can't. I'm saying he's not there yet. He's not there yet after game three at 23 years old. You watch him make these mistakes and you say, okay, these are the mistakes he has to correct. If he wants to be that guy, this is the path. These are the mistakes you have to correct. I'm sure I have plenty of mistakes to correct, but hopefully enough that do get corrected that you say, ah, you know what? I'm going to subscribe to the show anyway. If you're a new listener, it's a Monday through Friday podcast. I do these shows post-game as well with this format here. If you've got any questions, comments, whatever, you can tweet me, RedsArmy_John. You can email me, john@johncorrales.com. That also works. People have been asking me about mailbags. With the season starting, it's been kind of tough to do mailbags, but I will kind of get back to that. You know, people have been trying to send me messages through various outlets there. I will try to compile them as best I can. So, but those are the ways to contact me. Regular listeners, I need that 5-star rating and I need that good written review. Just found out from the boss that the Locked On Celtics podcast is cracking the top 200 of overall sports podcasts and still the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, according to iTunes. It's up there in Spotify as well. So keep doing it. Keep rating it. Keep reviewing it. Keep sharing. Keep telling all of your friends and family and everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.